Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your co-host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by Mark Casoglou, the VP of Sales at Outreach. And we're going to talk a little bit about how Outreach and Mark and his team do discovery. Welcome to the show, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
What up, Colin?
How you doing, man?
Chilling. How about you?
I'm doing great, man. Hey, before we jump into how you guys do discovery, I got to know what this t-shirt's all about.
Sales bully, man. So we believe that salespeople shouldn't self-deprecate, they shouldn't cower, and they should be treated with respect. And every once in a while, we'll get on a call where a salesperson stands up for themselves or gets an outcome that, you know, there's no way that they should have gotten. Give them a little sales bully sticker to reaffirm their awesomeness.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So this one, what did you do to earn this one?
I'm the creator of the sales bully. So I'm the original sales bully. So the way it got started is the SDRs would hear me on a sales call because I always have my desk right in the middle of all the action. And they'd hear me on a sales call and they'd be like, you're bullying them. You know, you're making it happen and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so this was just kind of a joke around that, the reason they gave me a t-shirt for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So today we're going to talk about discovery. So talk to me a little bit about the team that we're talking about that uses this process. Are we talking about your account execs or your SDRs or like where does this sort of sit?
We think it sits at the AE level, but you know, it just depends on how you have your roles segmented, if you segment at all. But basically, when you get to the part of the sales conversation where you're trying to figure out if they're a fit and if they have a problem you can solve and, you know, how you can position your product to make sure that you win the deal, like that's where this discovery process kind of comes in.
Gotcha. So just for context and some background, at this stage, yeah, an SDR has already booked a meeting for an account exec. What level of detail have they gone into on the phone with the customer already?
Well, again, I think it depends. An outreach, what we believe is getting our best conversators on the phone with people as quickly as we can. So our SDRs don't do very much discovery. We have a couple qualification things that are required and define a good meeting for an AE. And then we get the AE on the phone as fast as we can, as early as we can in the conversation. So for us, it happens, probably within the first 15 minutes of the relationship, meaning like, you know, the SDR spends 10, 15 minutes with them on the phone and the next phone call is the AE with, you know, sometimes some very little information, but sometimes people, you know, really resonate with the message of the SDR and they'll give them more. It varies fairly widely, but I'd say most of the time they're getting on with very little information.
And just before we jump in, I want to just touch on what's the definition of a good call for an account exec to jump into this discovery? SDRs talk to him for 5 to 15 minutes. What are the things that your account execs are hoping to see with any of these new meetings?
So there's just some things that for our company are deal breakers. And they're very easy technological things, you know, like if they don't use Gmail or Exchange, we probably aren't going to be able to work with them. So don't get me on the phone with somebody that uses Lotus Notes. So, you know, it's the basic gate qualifications. Because, yep. You know, again, I believe a salesperson's job is to create demand, not to just figure out if demand exists, right? And so if we get on the phone with somebody that has the ability to interface with our solution, we want our AE to create demand and to make it seem so awesome. We call it envy selling. We create a situation that people are envious of. They want to go to. That's what creates that delta or that gap mm-hmm. that causes people to move and to buy. And so, we really believe that they should create the envy and the gap and create the demand, not just recognize that the demand exists.
I love that. I find... And I've probably been guilty of it too as an account exec. You know, you get so many meetings booked for you. This one was no good because, you know, there was just no motivation, no interest there. Well, isn't that your job as the account exec to help create that?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Pretty sure that's what we get paid for. not yeah. just to sit there and take orders, you know?
Yeah, you can go work at McDonald's if you want to take orders. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because I used to work at a Mexican restaurant. I learned how to work hard taking orders for burritos, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, you betcha. So let's jump into to discovery. So SDR is booked a meeting for your account exec. Where does your AE is jumping on the phone? Where does the process start for you?
So for us, it starts with an acknowledgement of why the meeting's happening. So we want to make sure that the person understands what they're about to get into. And we have like three basic questions that we can ask around that. If the SDR has provided good notes, we can confirm those notes and make sure that that's the case. If they don't, you know, our tool's job is to create meetings. And a lot of people that we meet with are very hard to get meetings with. So we just say, listen, you're a busy sales leader. I'm sure you get called all the time. Like, why did you take this meeting with us? Or, you know, this meeting was booked by Outreach, a rep using Outreach. You understand how that process works. And so we just try to, you know, make sure that they understand why they're on the call. And, you know, at the same time, we can talk about like, this is a real world case that Outreach actually works, that you're on the phone.
Right on. And so, I mean, it's gotta be such an advantage of, you know, the proof is in the meeting. You must not even need to demo to say, oh, this is going to work. Well, I got you on the phone, didn't I?
It does take a little bit of demoing, but it is a nice little zinger to throw in there. There's no doubt about that.
Right on. So what's the first step with your rep when you're coaching somebody on, you know, how they do discovery?
Well, I mean, there's a couple different ways, and you can tell me which path you want to go down. One is a scripted discovery, which really helps with ramping reps and is more scalable. And the second one is what I would call like a master's or PhD level discovery, where, you know, that's where the big dogs live that close the big deals and have the great win rates and have the short sales cycles, you know, and that. So there's two ways to do it. Which would you rather us talk about?
You know, I think we probably got time for both. You got time for both.
Let's do it.
Start with the scripted one and then move up to the masterclass.
Yeah. So for us with our scripted questions, what we're trying to do is we're trying to orient ourselves to what's going on inside of that company and not necessarily get to specific pains and stuff. Again, we're going to use a talk track in that first call that creates envy by painting the picture of a future that could exist if you used Outreach. We need to use their vocabulary and their context and their constructs in order to do that effectively. And so that beginning part is really like, I would call it more advanced qualification than I would really call it discovery. We're making sure that they have problems that we can solve. We're making sure we understand the structure of their organization and things like that. We're not digging deep into what the problems are and why they exist, because again, you got to earn the right to do that. That can be, it's a very difficult and masterful thing for a rep to do that in an initial call. So that's just how we do the scripted, is just literally like contextual, advanced qualification type of questions that let us know, you know, are we able to work with this person and do we feel like we can dig in deeper somewhere that we find, you know, a little bit of stuff. We like to say like X marks the spot, but you still have to dig to get to the treasure, right? So we're just trying to find the X's in the first meeting. Gotcha. Are there any X's?
So what are some of those X's that you're looking for? And I understand it's going to be different for every company, but I think it's interesting to get a sense for, you know, what is it that your team is digging for?
We're looking for what kind of sales roles they have. Do they have SDRs and AEs? Are they full cycle? We're looking to see if they're planning out new hire growth, because that speaks to us about ramping reps and the need to help ramp reps more quickly. For us, you know, we transform business processes, the inbound, the outbound, the renewal process, the upsell, cross-sell, expansion process. We change those or orchestrate them for sales leaders in a way that's just never been able to be done before. So we do some understanding of, like, what does your inbound process look like? Your rep gets an inbound lead, then what do they do next? And then what do they do after that? And then how do they log this? And if this happens, how does that work? And so we ask a bunch of questions around processes that help us understand like how are they currently operating and where do we think we could provide some lift and fill in some holes.
Gotcha. And you're really digging for the pain there. Like you said, the X. So you're
that's just the X. The digging comes later. Like, so for example, let me give you a good example. So Colin, you were a rep for years. You're a sales guy. How did you get alerted of an inbound lead?
I mean, that really varies. Sometimes it was, they would walk into the, like our head office. But most of the time it was, I think they would, some sort of form would get emailed to my, into my inbox.
Yep. So that's how it happens 90% of the time. You get an email. Hey, Colin, Bob just came inbound from this company, like reach out to him. Right. Mm-hmm. And you click on the link and it takes you to some Salesforce report that has all your leads. Right.
Yeah.
And then the, what every rep does, I don't care who you are, you start looking at the leads and you cherry pick based on your own biases. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, this one sucks. This one sucks. Oh, I talked to this guy 2 weeks ago. I don't need to talk to him again. You kind of cherry pick down what you're actually going to do or not do. And then what you do is you say, I'm going after a process and I'm going to, you know, call or email or do something. And then, you know, somebody calls you or you got a meeting coming up and the next thing you know, like you're off your game and, you know, the lead falls through the cracks. And so that's what we're looking for, somebody to acknowledge like that kind of a broken system. Or even if they're on it, oh yeah, well they email everybody. Well, what do they do next? Well, they call them. Okay, are they using the same email every time? Is it? Are they, you know, are they all doing their own thing? Or do you know who your best person is and how they're outperforming? You know, somebody that's not as strong a performer, or why that's happening? And we start to just open up the holes of what they know, what they don't know.
Mm-hmm. And it's once you find those gaps.
Yeah, once you find the gap, so that's the X. Oh, their inbound process is broken. Mm-hmm. That's an X. Now I got to dig. And the way that we dig is a totally different way where we say, hey, listen, this is a problem area. And we say, now we pick out like a certain key area of how they've talked about something or some key verbiage. Because, you know, everybody says something different. Like, so for example, I would say, what's your time to lead or your time to first contact or whatever. Everybody kind of has a different name for it. And there's unclear communication when everybody has kind of a different definition or a different word for the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we try to clarify definition first and say, all right, well, when I say inbound, when you say inbound lead, like, what do you mean by that? And that allows them to kind of explain to us from their perspective. It also shows that we're interested in actively listening and putting the focus on what they have to say, not us like just, you know, talking a bunch about what we do. And then we have some steps after that that we do as we start to dig deeper. But that first step to digging the hole is, all right, find the X, which is, do they have a problem with inbound or outbound or renewal or something? Okay, they do have a problem. And then the next thing we're going to do is we're going to start asking a bunch of targeted questions around that to and getting them to define the current, the, you know, what they mean by what they tell us about that process.
Gotcha. So ahead of time, do your reps have an idea of what X's they're looking for, or are they sort of open discovery?
Yeah, no, and that's what the scripted discovery is meant to uncover, is like, here's the four or five X's that if you don't have one of these, it's going to be really tough to sell. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you get two or three of them, then it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the scripted, that's what the power of the scripted question is, because it can really get you very quickly to, you know, some common areas where you know you can win and provide value.
So how do you, just to flip this on you for a second, if there's a new VP sales manager that's listening to the podcast right now, what's the best way for them to find and define what these little X's are that they should be coaching their reps to dig in on?
Well, I think as a sales leader, you should understand your solution well enough to understand the major problems that you solve. You know what I mean? Like, we're a customer engagement platform. Anytime a customer-facing rep is engaging with a potential or current customer, they probably need something to help them do that better, more efficiently, more effectively, more process-driven, more data-driven. And so what are the key business processes that we that influences? It influences, you know, new logo acquisition. It influences customer renewal. It influences upsell, cross-sell, and things like that. And so those are the X's that we look for. They're the high-level value props of our of what we do. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's where the X's are.
And then based around those X's, you have some targeted questions that you found the X. This is where we need to dig. Now we dig deeper. And you've got a bit of a targeted, like a laddering sort of question style to get down to the real gold.
Yeah, so the scripted questions, again, help you figure out what the X is. Like, are there X's? And then we use this methodology where we say, okay, this is what I heard, right there. This is what you said. What do you mean by that? Right? It gives them a chance to explain themselves. And in that, you get a lot more information. And then what we do after that area is we say, okay, you do enough questioning around that and digging around that. Like, well, what do you mean by, your reps are too slow, right? Right. And then what we do is we say, we do something called diagnose and confirm. And diagnose and confirm says, hey, this is what I just heard. This is the hypothesis that I have formulated based on the series of questions I just asked. Do I have this right? And so, hey, listen, what I'm hearing is that your reps are getting an email. They're really busy doing a bunch of other stuff. They have 30 emails they get in a day. An email goes to the bottom of their inbox. The minute that they have time to look at it, they have 5 other emails in there. So they cherry pick the best leads. And then they're so busy going off, they only might touch somebody 1 or 2 times. Like, do I have that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then once you have it right, once they, one of two things happens, either to say yes. And most people, when they say yes, will then continue to give you further pain and help you understand even at a deeper level what's going on. Or they'll say no, and they'll correct your incorrect digestion of what they just gave you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's a great diagnose and confirm is a very powerful tool that either gets you more information or corrects misinformation. Because listen, man, everybody's human. And, you know, you got your brain, right? And your brain's taking in all this information. And I don't know, do you want to get into the science of it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, cool. So the way that it works, and think of it like this, is when we're selling, people are seeing and they're hearing what we're saying and what we're showing them or demoing them. And that's raw data that the brain just ingests, right? And the brain can take care of like raw data, like unstructured data. So it structures it around a story or what's called the inner narrative. And so if I show you a demo of something, your brain is forming a story about what it's seeing and what I'm telling you that's going to create an emotion, right? And that story is going to say, hey, either I like this and I want to know more about it, or I don't like this and I'm going to run from it. And it invokes the lizard brain, that little tiny little walnut sized thing at the top of your spinal cord. That's the basic part of being an animal, right? It's the fight or flight instinct. It's the survival instinct. And so the story ignites that part of the brain, and it makes somebody either want to engage with you further or want to stop engaging with you. And so you have to understand what this inner narrative is. And so what diagnose and confirm does is it is showing the person that you're sitting across from, like, this is the story that I am creating about what you're telling me. Is it right or is it not? And so that allows them to like correct it or to go deeper and help you understand. And you need to do that with them too, right? You need to be able to say, ask a how and what questions. Why questions are a little aggressive and they can be perceived as confrontational. How and what questions are just an explanation of what and how you're doing something, right? Not your motivation behind it. And so asking how and what questions allows the person on the other side of the table to reveal their inner dialogue and their inner narrative. And so that's what to me, like when real sales magic happens is when I'm telling you, this is how I am processing what you're telling me. Do I have it right? And then I'm telling you stuff, and I'm making sure that you are digesting and processing the information that I'm telling you the right way. And that's when clear communication happens. And that doesn't mean you get the deal, but it means that like you two are on the same wavelength. And, you know, I don't know how many times you've been in a deal where, you know, I just actually listened to a call the other day, and from somebody that we have been interviewing some of our deals. And basically the guy just in the very beginning of the sales process misunderstood something we were saying, and it clouded him for the entire sales process. Everything we built on top of that bad foundation didn't hold because we didn't have clear communication, same definition, same words or whatever in the very beginning.
It's so, so critical, especially when you're building that early foundation, that relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
You said something really interesting there. So when you're talking with a prospect, or when your AEs are talking with a prospect, the diagnose to confirm is essentially, this is what I heard you say. Do I have that right? So yep. It's essentially a read receipt. You know,
that's exactly right.
You're sort of confirming that, yep, you said some words. I heard them through all the different lenses that sort of I heard them through. I'm going to communicate that back to you. Did I get that right? Are we on the same page? No. You also mentioned that you flip it back. How do you coach a rep to do that effectively? You know,
sure. So
did you hear me? Did that make sense? Seems almost like you're challenging. You know, that's what comes to mind when I'm thinking of this.
So it's interesting you bring that up because typically when a rep is demoing something, and when you're demoing something is when the other person's creating this inner narrative to understand what you're talking about. And so when you're demoing something, no matter what kind of feature it is, you know, if you're selling IT stuff or you're selling, you know, customer success, SaaS software, whatever it is, you're demoing something, and salespeople have these really great natural instincts, and they want to pause for a second and assess, like, is the person following me? If they were to put better words to it, they want to know, is the person's inner dialogue or inner narrative aligned to what I think it should be at this point, right? And so most salespeople feel the need to do that. And so they pause and they ask one of two questions. Does this make sense, or do you have any questions? Both are useless, throwaway questions. If I ask you, does this make sense, what do you think the answer is? I get 99.9% of the time.
It's probably yes.
Yes. And if I say, do you have any questions, what is the answer I get 99% of the time?
No, all good.
No. So don't ask a question that you know the answer to already, right? But what it does signal is great sales instincts. People that ask that question, it signals great sales instincts because they're trying to, they just don't understand like the science behind, I'm trying to figure out that person's inner dialogue. Mm-hmm. And those two questions don't help you reveal that. A how, what question does though? So if we have a feature called sequences that allows you to automate and get a lot of visibility into your sales process. And so when we get done demoing a sequence, our reps will say, does that make sense? And everybody says, yes, it makes sense. But what we use it is as a trigger, you know, like when you use a little rubber mallet and hit your knee and your leg comes up reflexively, we want our reps, when they ask that great sales instinct question, does this make sense? And they get that horrible yes answer. That's their trigger, their mental trigger to say, you know what? Let me ask you this. How do you see sequences helping you convert inbound leads at a higher rate? And now what happens is they have to tell you their inner dialogue. How do they perceive? How do they process what you just showed them? And that's then one of two things happens. Either it's in line with what you want them to say and you reinforce it. It's not what you want them to think, and you have to change the inner dialogue, or they haven't created one yet, which means you have to help them create one. And so, but then at least you know where you're at. And if you do that, and you know, every time you feel like, hey, does this make sense? Do you have any questions? That's your mental trigger to ask a how, what question to reveal the inner dialogue. Then you can deal with that and then move on to the next thing. But there's no point moving on to the next thing until you've got them cemented in what you just did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I love that piece. I feel like, you know, we had this conversation a few weeks ago, and I remember, you know, you describing this to me, and I was thinking back about, you know, over the last couple of weeks about, you know, some of the old sales conversations I've had. And it almost feels like, you know, I was definitely on the phone. I was absolutely paying attention to the customers, but I sort of had my hand over my eyes and just wasn't even looking, wasn't even thinking that there was another person on the line. And it was, my entire attention was drawn inwardly. There was just drawn to me and what I was saying, how I was doing, as opposed to the opposite of, is what I'm saying being received well with the customer.
You know what's crazy about that too, Colin, is most salespeople know what to say. They know how to respond. They have the right words for them.
Okay. Yeah, another guest on the podcast. You want to say hello?
Hey, do you want to come say hi? Oh, here he comes.
Heller.
All right.
See you later, Padre.
All right, buddy. So, last day of school. Kids around.
Right on.
Most salespeople know what to say. They have the right words. And if they were just talking with friends, they would say something that would be really effective. But because they're in a sales situation and the pressure's on and, you know, your boss is going to listen to the call or, you know, you're afraid you're going to lose a deal, what happens is they concentrate too inwardly on what's going on instead of just being outwardly focused on the customer, and they lose those words. And they're so worried about saying something the right way. You're going to say it the right way if you quit worrying about saying it the right way. Does that make sense? You know, it's like a jump shot. Steph Curry doesn't think about his jump shot anymore. I'm sorry. He doesn't. When he practices, he does. In a game, he just shoots a jumper. Yeah. And that's the difference. Salespeople are out there like thinking about their jump shot when the game's on the line rather than just, you know, relying on muscle memory.
What do you think that is? Is it a lack of practice? They just haven't taken enough jump shots, or is it coaching and mindset?
I think it's just people, they don't know what to do next. Right. And so the conversation gets to a point where they haven't finished what they need to do and they don't know what to do next versus I think when you get to that point where you don't know what to do is that's your sales instinct saying, I better make sure they're coming along with me. So just place in a great how, what question in there to see where they're at, if they're following you. And then you'll figure out where they're at and you know where to take it from there. Listen, if their story is great and it's aligning with where you want it to be, reinforce it and then move on to the next issue. If their story doesn't align with where you need it to be, then you need to change the story and figure out why they're at where they're at. And if they haven't developed a story yet, they need more information. You need to help them develop a story. And I have a great story around this with a rep that I was helping coach about a year ago. And we were doing the diagnose and confirm thing, and we're digging in deep and we're asking the how, what questions. And this guy is talking about, you know, how his people can't convert the leads from marketing. And like, if he could just convert leads from marketing better, that, you know, he would hit his number and everybody would be doing great. And we showed him a feature in our platform that totally helps with that. And then we asked them, hey, this is what I'm hearing. Does this make sense? And how do you see this helping your reps convert inbound leads at a higher rate? And he literally said, no joke, you know what? It doesn't matter. We only get 3 inbound leads a month, and marketing actually has to step up, and marketing needs to get us more leads. And, you know, he kind of put all the blame on marketing, right? Which every sales guy wants to do. But what it does is that how, what question showed us that the inner dialogue we were telling him about the feature that totally mapped to his need, he was telling himself the story of, this doesn't even matter because I don't have enough leads to convert enough people to win business. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we said, okay, his inner dialogue's not where we need to be. What do we need to do next? We need to say, well, would you rather wait around for marketing to control your destiny? Or do you want to grab your own control and like hit your number, whether marketing does what you need them to or not? And he's like, it's funny you say that. I just created like this 20 hot list account thingamajigger. And you know, they're supposed to be doing it, but they're just not able to do it. And so we were able to pivot off of inbound leads, which was going to go nowhere. But if we asked him if it made sense, he would have said, yes, it makes sense. If we would ask him, do you have any questions? He would have said no. But his inner dialogue would have been pointing him to leaving the sales engagement and leaving our pipeline. So we were able to find out the inner dialogue, you know, pivot over to how that same feature works to help him implement a strategy where he can control his own destiny. And we were able to get the deal. And, you know, so that's just a great example of, and a cool story of a rep that like understands like what I'm after is the inner dialogue, because inner dialogue shows me whether they're moving in my direction or moving away from me.
Mm-hmm. And so many reps, if you don't manage to, if you can't get to that level, if you don't even think to go to that level, you're going to have these deals sitting in your pipeline that are at, you're confused as to why they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, the majority of deals stuck in your pipeline is because they're telling themselves a story about what they've seen and heard from the rep that doesn't align with what you need them to, the story that they should be telling themselves. And lots of times it's just, there's confusion or miscommunication and you just got to get it right. But it's very rarely, you know, is it just not totally a fit? That usually just comes up. It's usually there's something in there that just needs to get dialed in a little bit tighter for it all to work. And so, you know, for me, when a deal goes cold, it's that you haven't created enough demand and urgency. And typically that's a symptom of the disease of, you know, I'm not digging in to actually find the pain that matters to them. Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's one of the easiest tweaks as a sales rep to make, is that you just need to be aware that there's this inner dialogue.
Yeah.
In the first place, you know, it's funny that you'd almost need to remind reps, but I mean, I could still use the reminder every time I jump on a sales call. It's like, don't forget, you know, you get so amped or excited, or, you know, I love when I can get involved in the sales motion, and I just find that fun. And it's so easy to just get carried away with, I'm having a good time here, and forget about the people on the other side of the phone.
Have you ever played catch or with a baseball or thrown a football with a dude, and when he gets the ball, he like won't throw it back? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I have a buddy, and everywhere he goes, for some reason, he has a football. I love throwing football with him, because every time I throw it, like, it comes right back. And like, we throw a lot versus, you know, some kid down the street, I throw him the football and he's like tossing it up and like trying to punt it back to me and crap like that. Like, that's how I view good and bad sales. Good sales is the ball's going back and forth. And I don't just mean in the conversation, I mean in understanding. Like, I'm trying to understand you, you're trying to understand me, and we're passing the ball back and forth and coming to an agreed upon understanding and something that's fun to do. Mm-hmm. Versus what most reps do is, when the minute that person throws the ball, the prospect throws the ball back at them, they're messing around with it and punting it and, like, you know, trying to throw the perfect pitch or whatever. Like, just throw the ball back to them. You know what I mean? Like, have that back and forth that allows you to like really understand what's going on. Then everybody has fun.
Yeah. And realizing there's two people here, we're playing catch as opposed to you playing hacky sack or whatever it is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Now this, getting into the psychological piece here, is this what you're sort of referring to as like the masterclass in discovery?
Yeah, that's it. It's the understanding of the inner dialogue, the need to make sure that it's aligned with where you want it to be, and then the technique of listening to your sales instincts and using weak questions to trigger the need to ask a stronger question. And then using diagnose and confirm to make sure that you have when you compile all your hypothesis together, compile those facts together to form your hypothesis, that you're going in the right direction, and showing them what your inner dialogue is. That's the masterclass.
Phenomenal. I had one last question, because, you know, we talked a lot about sort of asking questions and creating knowledge and understanding. You know, I wanted to ask you about sort of the difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, their sort of relationship.
Yeah. So I'm a Bible guy. And so one thing that I've learned being a Bible guy is that knowledge is something that you learn. Understanding is something that you experience, right? So I can have book knowledge, but that doesn't mean I understand what I'm doing. And understanding is getting my hands dirty and doing something and experiencing the knowledge that I have learned, right? Well, knowledge, learning, and understanding, which is your experience, those two together is what's wisdom, right? That's so, like, listen, you now have the knowledge of inner dialogue, all right? That doesn't make you wise. It just means you know something. Now you need to go out and experience what a sale is like, uncovering the inner dialogue and moving it to where it needs to be and helping them understand yours. And as you do that, you'll become wise. And wise is the ability to, like, do something right way every time, you know, and you know, making sure that you're getting the outcomes that you want to get through the things that you're trying to do. And I think that it's just a really cool way to look at it. Like, just knowing something isn't good enough. Just doing something isn't good enough. But knowing and doing something together can create, like, sustained success.
I can't remember the exact quote, but what you said reminded me of, I was reading about Richard Feynman, famous physicist.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, it was a story he was telling of his father when he was growing up. And he said, you know, this is the name of that bird in English, and this is the name of that bird in Chinese and in German. And so it's like, now you know, you know all of these things about this bird, but we still don't understand why it, you know, migrates south, or why it, you know, how its digestive system works. It's like there's that specific knowledge of, you know, certain features, but you don't actually have a deep understanding of why this bird is here and not in Arkansas.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
The coupling of the two is a very powerful thing. And I think a lot of people rush to act without fully knowing something and fully learning it. And what that does is it reinforces bad behavior. And some people learn stuff and the paralysis by analysis and never do it. Mm-hmm. And I think the special salespeople are the ones that have a real desire to learn something deeply, a real desire to play and experiment like with that knowledge and how to use it for themselves in a way that feels true and right. And I think once you do both of those things, you'll be awesome at no matter what you're trying to do.
I didn't think we were going to get philosophical, but I'm glad we did.
Ooh, I love getting philosophical. But
so last question, and this is sort of open-ended, but how do you, like, if knowing the difference between sort of knowledge and understanding, you know, how do we cultivate that in reps? If being able to have the two and combine the two are so powerful, how do we cultivate that in the teams that we lead?
I think that the way that you do it is with coaching and practice, right? Coaching is the thing that when I talk to sales leaders, they do the least. They instruct a lot. They give a lot of feedback, but they don't actually coach. And coaching to me is the assessment of, are you doing what you should be doing? And do you have the knowledge that you need to do it? And so, like, I can come to you with a deal and we can talk about that deal together. And I can even be doing what I think a lot of sales leaders would think is a good job and helping you understand what you need to do with that deal by like giving you a lesson about it. And like, hey, here's what we should do. What do you think about this? Here's my idea. Versus what I prefer to do is to see like, listen, show me how you're going to do this. Tell me what you would do here. How would this work? And it's very question-based. Like I realized early on in my sales management and sales leadership career that sales leadership is just sales. You're just selling to your salespeople instead of selling to your prospects. And so the way that I sell and you know, had good success, great success selling was being interested in the person I was selling across of, having a genuine curiosity about them, working really hard and connecting the dots with what I knew about my product and what I knew about their pains and making sure that was very explicit. And so I do the same thing now, and that's what I would call coaching, is selling your people on what to do. Is I'm very interested in the person sitting across. We have a natural curiosity that draws, like, why are you thinking like that? Why are you doing that? What would you do without my bias of telling you what you should do? Mm-hmm. And then connecting the dots about what I know about them and what I know about should they do, and making sure that I connect those dots explicitly for them so they understand, like, this is why I was doing what I was doing. This is what I should be doing. And this is why, you know, I should be doing what I should be doing, not what I am doing. Mm-hmm. If that is circular enough for you.
I think I follow. I think the one piece that's so easy to miss with coaching is, you know, you're diagnosing and then you're jumping in and I'm telling you how to do it, as opposed to, you know, and that's what you're saying is that's not true coaching. True coaching is, you know, going through that process and then asking, okay, so now we're here, what would you do next? And
yeah.
And working with them on the answer together, as opposed to standing in front of a whiteboard and lecturing.
It's more important to understand why they're deciding to do what they're doing than to know what they're deciding to do. And if I know the why, I can change the why. And then that changes the behavior versus me just saying, hey, do it like this, and expecting them to just do it like this because I said so. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like the whole fish, and give somebody a fish, they'll eat for a day, teach them how to fish, and they'll never go hungry. But the why is teaching them how to fish. Like, by understanding why they're making that decision and why they're strategizing that way, you can change the why versus just changing the behavior because I'm saying don't do this. Just that doesn't work.
Because it doesn't impact the why. It doesn't, you don't unpack the sort of machine that led them to make that decision. You just said that decision is bad. Let's move on.
Yes. It's a different engine, but the same gas. And if your gas sucks, then no matter what engine you put in, it's gonna suck. Like, change the gas, and the engine will run better. Mm-hmm.
Mark, I think this is a great spot to leave it. I want to thank you so much for your time today. I feel like we could talk for another hour and a half and just keep going on this, but I want to be respectful of your time, and I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Colin.
Right on. Thanks, Mark.